brought to you by Lightspeed Zulu, simply the quietest, most comfortable headset in the world, and by Phillips 66 Aviation, the most trusted wings in aviation. If you could own the world's quietest, most comfortable aviation headset, why would you want anything else? Visit Lightspeed Aviation's pavilion outside Hangar B and ask about our expanded trade-up program, opening the door to everyone ready to move up to a Zulu. And while you're here, vote for your favorite aviation charity. The top five will each receive $10,000 from the Lightspeed Aviation Foundation.
You're listening to AvWeb's continuing coverage of EAA Air Venture 2010 from Whitman Field in Oshkosh. I'm with John Sisk, who's involved in the Clean 100 Octane Coalition, which is basically a grassroots organization in support of a new fuel, which they believe is 100, should be 100 octane. John, I know you've been very involved with the FAA and with the AOPA and the FAST Committee and so forth on this new fuel search. Tell us a little bit about where the coalition is now, what it's done, and what the outlook is at the moment.
Well, Paul, the coalition is here at Oshkosh primarily to work with the FAA. We had asked for a meeting with the top-level administrative staff at the FAA prior to Oshkosh, and the FAA seems to be sensitive to this issue. They immediately agreed to a meeting, and we had that today. I thought the meeting made a lot of progress. They listened to our concerns about the deteriorating market, the stagnation in the general aviation economy, and the effect of uncertainty over a next-generation fuel and the impact that that might be having to contribute to that overall problem. We also talked about the FAA's role in bringing a new fuel to the market. One of our concerns is that the various constituencies that make up this complex political situation is you've got the FAA, which obviously has regulatory obligations of certification. You've got various association groups like the FAST group that have been discussing this for a long time. You've got the ASTM, which is responsible for the technical specification for the AVGAS, and it relates to the purchasing and distribution and production of gasoline. And one of our concerns is that some of these roles have kind of, in our opinion, have kind of gotten mixed up. And so at this meeting, we stressed with the FAA that they exercise the proper authority that when it comes to evaluating and identifying and establishing criteria and assessing candidate fuels and developing the certification process, that these other groups not be the ones in control, that's where the FAA needs to be involved. There are appropriate roles for the FAST committee and for ASTM, but we want to make sure that the FAA demonstrates proper leadership in creating an environment where the innovators, the people that are actually going to come up with solutions, understand the process that they're going to have to go through to get these fuels approved. We just don't believe that people are not going to expend the capital to do these things if the rules are not clear and the playing field is not leveled.
And let's talk about that attracting capital. You and I attended a briefing yesterday, given in part by the FAST committee, and what was stressed was that the EPA set no timeline on this, and the impression was that there's a lot more time to fix it than we might imagine. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I have a lot of problem with that. I think that we've gone 20 years now, or that we're told, of looking at fuels that would meet the existing ASTM specifications, and all kinds of fuels have been tested, and basically got 20 years of proving that whatever the next generation fuel is, if it's going to be a full octane solution that will work with all of the general aviation fleet, it is not going to come from within the D910 specification. And I think to interject at this point information that seems to be contrary to what we think is the political certainty that leaded aviation gasoline is going to go away at some point. Most people think around 2017. There's an argument about that. But the point is trying to introduce information at this point that's going to make people think that we have a lot more time, I think, is dangerous. One of the things that I expressed to the FAA today is even if we have a committed and stable supplier for tetraethyl lead, that doesn't account for natural disaster, acts of terrorism, other things that could instantly jeopardize the general aviation fleet by making tetraethyl lead not available. So there isn't a good excuse for not doing what we need to do in a speedy fashion.
And you're the owner of a Mirage, and I know you've been involved in some modification projects on that airplane and some other work, so I know you get a sense of how the FAA works. As far as the complexity of this problem, and you're a person with an engineering and business background, is it as complex as it's described as being, or do you see it as something that's solvable, at least with a visible solution in a year or two?
Well, I think my own opinion is that the complexity of the problem is somewhat overstated. And I think when you look at all the various organizations and players that the complexity feeds into all the different groups that are massaging the issue. One of the things that we did prior to the meeting, here at Oshkosh is we worked with some fuels experts to develop a layman's tech sheet and fuel comparison, and in the process learned quite a bit about what's involved, what the various issues are with aviation fuels, and it's certainly not child's play, but I think that the complexity is somewhat overstated in order to justify the timeline that a lot of people want to take. But I'm an entrepreneur. I think this is, at this stage, what we need is to create an environment where the people that have that fire in the belly and are willing to risk their capital will work on this problem and come up with a workable solution. We can institutionalize it after that is done and figure out how to specify it and produce it and get it through the refinery process and all that. But what we need right now are all the people that are working on candidate fuels to understand what the process is, what they're going to have to do to qualify this product with the FAA, and to foster that innovation so that we can have the brightest minds working on this problem. It's not going to be solved by a committee.
All right, John, thanks very much for speaking with us. You've been listening to AvWeb's continuing coverage of EAA AirVenture 2010. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Whitman Field. Thanks for listening.
With over 700 FBOs nationwide and the strongest supply in the industry, it's no wonder Phillips 66 is aviation's number one fuel provider. Phillips 66, the most trusted wings in aviation.